Came to a part in the 12th verse that said, "Forgive us our debts." If you all have it, 6:12. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. You can also paraphrase this to say, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive our people who sin against us." Or, as I was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, I was brought up Catholic. "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." We said that. I was brought up with that, the Our Father. Those were the words that were said. And many times when I was growing up, I really didn't know exactly what that meant. Hopefully when we leave today, we're going to know exactly what that means. Forgiveness is a twofold process. It's vertical and it's horizontal. The vertical talks about how we need to be forgiven by God. It's crucial and essential, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The horizontal means that we need to forgive one another because of His forgiveness. The vertical, the horizontal, is the natural step that we need to take to heart. We sang the songs today about His forgiveness, His love, His mercy. And as we sang those songs, I know many of us were touched by how our sin was presented before Him at a time in our life. And we went back to that place, even as we sat today, and remembered what a wonderful opportunity it was for Him to give us the grace that He gave us. And that was that vertical. We have sinned against the Holy God. That's the vertical. God is holy. And there's no two things about that. He is holy. And we are born into a condition of sin. We are sinners. That's flat out. There's no denying that. There is no question about that. That is our condition. Again, those of you that were brought up with the concept of original sin and know that, you were brought into this world in the condition of sin. And that clearly is a mandate for you to get out of. You need to get out of that condition. We are all in that condition. Once we start focusing on individual sins, we are off the track, so to speak, of what God wants us to burr home quickly in our lives as we reach the age of accountability. That we are in a sinful condition, and then we need to get out of it. So there's no doubt in my mind that we know that, but we rationalize and we do a lot of other things. But we need to get out of that condition. Secondly, and a lot of my sermon is going to be on this one, we need to forgive one another, which is the horizontal expression of forgiveness. But we can't forget the vertical, and we have to use the vertical as our context always, because it's the only way we're going to get into the horizontal. It won't work if we don't have the two working together. And I'm sure you've heard the illustration of the cross, which is the vertical and the horizontal. It's an expression of His love, and it's clear that it's vertical and horizontal there. We need to forgive one another. You know, in a song we sang today, and we've all heard the song Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace is amazing in many, many different facets. But one of the reasons that it's amazing is that in our relationship with God, He is the one that makes the avenue for forgiveness. And we're going to talk about being forgiven by someone else and how we have been injured. And we injured someone, and we need to go and ask for their forgiveness. We injured Him. And He comes to us. Who can I put on the spot here? Mark, can I put you on the spot? Come on up. It's like me saying, I forgot your first name because I'm...
Well, that's injury enough. I'm kidding. Tony.
Tony, I'm sorry. It's like I have injured Tony. But Tony comes to me and says that she's going to die for me so that I can get forgiven. Does that make any sense? It makes no sense at all. I've injured you, but you say to me, what are you going to do for me?
I can die for you. I will die for you.
She'll die for me so that I can be forgiven. That is amazing grace. Thank you, Tony. I'm sorry about the snafu. Our forgiveness with God is ongoing. And we know that since we are initially in that state of that condition, we need to get forgiven. But we know we continually go to Him for our forgiveness. That doesn't mean that we sin over and over again, as the Bible, as Romans says, we do not do that. We don't make a practice of it. But we are always in an ongoing relationship with God. But we need to get first the condition taken care of, and then we can move into the repentant state of continual forgiveness with Him. The horizontal isn't as clear cut. It's not as clear cut. And the reason that is that because both parties are generally not in agreement that they want this to happen. In other words, whenever there's something that happens in terms of a forgiveness issue, there's an injured and an injurer. Now, if it was clear cut like the vertical relationship we have with God, He comes to us and say, I am ready to forgive you, flat out, right now. Let's go. I'm ready. In fact, I'm going to die to prove it to you. But that doesn't happen when we have two parties. One has been injured and one's been the injurer. It doesn't happen. It's not that clear cut. In fact, many, many times we have very gray areas about what am I going to do? She hurt me. He hurt me. I hurt him. I hurt her. Does she really think I hurt all these things? So it becomes a little blurrier. And it, as it should be, because we're human beings and we're fallen and we don't really get things straight all the time. And again, as I speak to you, I speak to myself. This is not an indictment on any of us. It's just the reality of who we are. What happens is we need a definition. And I'm going to give you a definition that I got. It's amazing what's on the internet, by the way, on forgiveness. I thought that it would be something that was going to take some time to find. There are websites galore that just goes to show you how deep that issue is for people. Many of them secular, many of them attached to Christianity, and many of them that attached even to other faiths. But this is a definition I got from a Reverend Douglas K. Showalter, and he defines forgiving as the elimination of all desire for revenge and personal ill will toward those who deeply wrong or betray us. This elimination usually brings an inner peace of heart and the freedom of not having our lives defined by the injuries we have suffered. And that's a mouthful. But I think the last few words really clearly let us know that if our lives are being defined by the injuries we have suffered, then we are going to be in trouble. And we're going to talk a little bit later about how not only is that something that we see theoretically up here, but it's really happening in people's lives when there's unforgiveness. What it is not, okay? This is a good definition of what it is, okay? You want to be, you're forgiven, you forgive someone, you want to have this thing taken care of. And you say to someone, you've hurt me, you've betrayed me, but I forgive you. You know, I don't, I'm not going to hold on to this. It's over. It's over. What it is not, okay? It's not excusing someone. Like, you guys will excuse me for my little jokes today. It's not excusing someone for an irritation. Oh, I stepped on your foot. Well, I forgive you. Well, you know. Oh, I scuffed your toe or whatever. It's not an excusing. So we can't, this is deeper than just excusing something. Okay? It's not pardoning. It's not pardoning someone. Well, you say, well, I don't really want you to be hurt or get any repercussions by this, but I'm going to file this baby away. You know, and I'll give you a clear illustration of this. As some of you know, I work in a school. I had a teacher who was injured by one of his students in a more of a heart way, okay? I was with the parents, and the whole thing was almost ridiculous to me. But the child was about 6'3", it was a big kid, and he had his foot out. And the teacher was walking by and tripped over the foot. And the teacher said, the boy's name, I'll make up a name, John. The teacher said in the conference to the parents, John tripped me. And the parents said, well, we don't think John tripped you. He goes, I know he tripped me. John's 6'2", and he's stuck, you know, getting all this, right? But I finally got to the point with the parents. I'm mediating this conference. And I said, well, what do we need to do to get beyond this, okay? So the parents said, well, if he did, I know he's sorry, and he'll say he's sorry. And teacher said, you know what? That's okay. In fact, Mr. Pesci, I don't even want you to take this any further. I know the discipline code is clear that we could have this child suspended, but we'll take the discipline code and we'll put it aside for this, okay? In fact, you don't even have to punish him. No problem. But I won't forgive him. Exact words. And I quote. Now, if you're a Christian principal, that drives through you like a knife. Okay? And I said, I don't accept that. I said, nope, sorry. And he says, what do you mean? I said, you can't not forgive him. You have to forgive him. You have to move on. If you don't forgive him, we have a problem here. What was he doing? He was pardoning him. He was pardoning him. It's fine. I don't want him in. I don't want any more repercussions about this. So you may pardon someone, but you really haven't forgiven them. Okay? So it's not pardoning. That's what it's not. Okay? So why should we forgive? You know, for those of us who know, you know, we all speak Christianese, and we can always say, well, we have to forgive because God forgave us, and we move on. Well, you know, I want to dwell on that a little bit. That's a pretty strong statement that God's making to us. I forgave you. You need to forgive others. This isn't a game here that we just say off the top of our head, or we just say, he was God, you know. God can forgive, you know, he's the Lord. No, he went to a cross and shed blood and died. So what do we do about it? Okay? And you don't have to turn to this, but if you want to write it down, the verse Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, which is one of the words we saw up there, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which are all fruits of the Spirit. That's my paraphrase, by the way. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now that stops right there. There's a period. It's pretty clear cut. Forgiveness has its benefits. Let's go to one other thing before we do that. It's a choice, okay? It is a choice. Now, this is where we are stuck with this thing called free will, and we have the choice to make. It's a choice. It's an act of our free will. But it cannot be accomplished without understanding and accepting God's grace. Okay, I'm going out on a limb, guys, because if you've been brought up in a secular context, you're going to look at me and say, I can forgive somebody without understanding that God's grace thing because I can do that on my own. No, you can't. He didn't send his son to die for us on a cross because forgiveness was that easy. If it was that easy, he wouldn't have had to do that. So you can't do it. You can't do it without that context. Once we understand God's grace, we can supernaturally impart the same sense of grace to others. And I'm going to say that again because I think it's important that we get this concept. Once we understand God's grace and we've accepted the vertical and we've gotten out of the condition and we continue to work in the context of forgiveness with our Father, then we can supernaturally, because we can't do it on our own, impart the same sense of grace to others. Okay? Now, here's another place where we get stuck. Okay, I'll forgive, but what's their response going to be? You know, I've been burned here. I've been injured. And I'm going to stick my neck out on the line, and I'm going to go up to that person and say, you know what, I forgive you. Or the other way around, forgive me. What's their response going to be? Let's look at it from you being the one who has injured, and you go up to somebody, and you're taking a big step. Okay, I admit that I wronged you. Taking that step, I understand God's grace. He's told me that I have to go and get forgiveness. Okay. Here's what happens. We have to remember that forgiving is a legitimate and complete act for an individual, whether or not it leads to reconciliation. Forgiving happens inside the person who does it. Forgiving welcomes, but does not depend on the repentance of the injurer. Okay? So if I've wronged Pastor Keith, and I go up to him, and I say, forgive me, I'm sorry, I need you to know that I need you to forgive me. And he says, no, I don't. Does that mean that I no longer have forgiven him? No. Mm-mm. It happens inside the person who does it. You are then freed up to move on. Because remember our definition? You're not being driven by these feelings of unforgiveness or feelings that you have done. Remember this, it jumps back and forth. And I know in your mind you're going, yeah, I need to forgive that person, but they need to forgive me. You know, because it jumps back and forth. And it's not a teaching, so I can't get questions now. I had a hand go up. We can talk about that later. Okay? That's the only difference between preaching and teaching. When you're preaching, I can't get questions. Okay? All right. Forgiveness has its benefits, and the lack of forgiveness has its consequences. Okay? Let me read a story about someone who needed forgiveness, but the person who went out and sought the forgiveness was the injured party. Okay, this is a true story. One of the most public examples of the forgiveness in recent years occurred in the aftermath of a false accusation of sexual abuse leveled against by Stephen Cook against Cardinal Joseph Bernardine of Chicago. After 4 months of worldwide ugly publicity and a lawsuit, Cook withdrew the accusation. And on the threshold of death from pancreatic cancer, Cardinal Bernardine gave an account of the meeting in which the two were reconciled. Cook had wanted the cardinal to tell the story for both of them. These are Cardinal Bernardine's words. I felt deeply that the entire episode would not be complete until I followed my shepherd's calling to seek him out. I only prayed that he would receive me. The experience of the false accusation would not be complete until I met and reconciled with Stephen. Even though I had never heard from him, notice the injurer never looked for the reconciliation, I sensed he also wanted to see me. I explained to him that the only reason for requesting the meeting was to bring closure to the traumatic events of the last winter by personally letting him know I harbored no ill feelings towards him. The words I am using to tell you this story cannot begin to describe the power of God's grace at work that afternoon. It was a manifestation of God's love, forgiveness, and healing that I will never forget. Again, if you want reconciliation, you seek it, I would say you would pray for it, because reconciliation is what you're looking for, and it's the perfect closure to a situation where there's an injurer and an injured, but it doesn't always happen. So I'm kind of, in a sense, warning you that if you do go seek forgiveness from someone, that it may not end in reconciliation. We always hear about forgiving and forgetting. And I was very dogmatic about this. I remember being in a conference with another teacher who said, well, I forgive him, but I'll never forget. Well, I said, I don't think you can do both. And I kind of did a little bit of research on that. I've softened my tone a little bit about that. But let's look at a scripture. In Micah 7:19. Again, you don't have to turn to it if you want to look at it later on. You, and the writer is meaning God. He's talking to God. He's saying, you will again have compassion on us, the Jewish nation, in this continual cycle of sin and then back to forgiveness. You will continue to have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. So that conjures up an image of God taking our sins and just throwing them away. And you could say, even forgetting them. Okay? But, again, things are a little more complex for us as human beings. And I say, the forgiving will not change circumstances. It won't. The circumstances will still be there. The prior circumstances. The future circumstances, it will change. It does not exempt the injurer from the consequences that they have perpetrated on the injured. It doesn't exempt them. Case in point, the prodigal son was forgiven and accepted back into the family, but he still squandered his inheritance. It didn't change that. You know, and that's where you have to be very, very careful when you throw around the words, I'm sorry, like they're an afterthought. You know, that's why I said this isn't excusing behavior. This is about behavior that cannot be understood or is inexcusable. So when you throw the words, I'm sorry, out, it really demeans those words. I'll give you a real quick example. If a child, okay, has an absent father, and that father says to him every week, I'm going to pick you up. I'll be there. I'll be there at 6 o'clock Friday night. And he doesn't show up. And the father calls and says, well, I'm sorry. Something came up. After a while, the child starts to say, you know what? Sounds like I'm sorry is an excuse. Sounds like I'm sorry is just a good way of getting out of something. So we have to be very careful when we have injured someone that we make that I'm sorry and we ask for that forgiveness, that we then learn from the circumstances so we don't forget, in a sense. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So we forget in the context of not using the situation to bring us back to the state we were in, unforgiveness, okay? But we remember as a benefit for future situations. I won't do it again. Okay, because I don't want to go through this again. That's why forgiveness is clearly something that we can't take lightly. Forgiveness has its benefits, and the lack of forgiveness has its consequences. Let me give you some research. The Stanford Center for Research in Disease Prevention said there was a study in how the act of forgiving can actually help people move past anger, pain, trauma, and conversely, how the inability to forgive can have negative impacts on individuals and their relationships. But not only that, not just emotional difficulties and interpersonal problems, but they also cited impaired cardiological, neurological, and immune systems. So you may be sick because you haven't forgiven someone. Because if you're harboring it and it's attacking you, we see the emotional, or we could feel the emotional. But sometimes we don't know what it's doing to us physically, that it can literally attack our bodies. The heart, which is the cardiac part, and the nerves, the neurological, and the immune systems, which is where we fight off infection and disease. Okay. Again, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not claiming that if you have a cold, it's because you didn't forgive someone. Okay? But the bottom line is we know that we are not strictly physical, emotional, social, spiritual, and intellectual beings outside of a context of wholeness. So this does affect us in many, many, many ways. Okay. I said a lot of things, and I'm convinced that these are things that God did impart to us. I want to close with another story. And it really does line up with what we just talked about in terms of harboring. Anybody heard of James Garfield? James Garfield was a president. Okay? And he was also a preacher, a lay preacher, a principal of a denominational college. And in 1880, I'm going to read this to you, he was elected president of the United States. But only after 6 months in office, he was shot in the back with a revolver. He never lost consciousness. At the hospital, the doctor probed the wound with his little finger to see if he could seek the bullet. He couldn't find it, so he tried the silver-tipped probe. Still, he couldn't locate the bullet. They took Garfield back to Washington, D.C., and despite the summer heat, they tried to keep him comfortable. He was growing very weak. Teams of doctors tried to locate the bullet, probing the wound over and over again. In desperation, they asked Alexander Graham Bell, who was working on a little device called the telephone, to see that if he could locate the metal inside the president's body. He came, he sought, and he too failed. The president hung on through July, through August, but in September he finally died, not from the wound, but from infection. The repeated probing, which the physicians thought would help the man, eventually killed him. So it is with people who dwell too long on their sin and refuse to release it to God. And this was written by a Roger Thompson. And I would go a step further and say, so it is with people who hang on to their unforgiveness and refuse to release it to God. As Ralph said, I do expect you to think a little bit about this. So I want you to bow your heads. Father, you've clearly spoken to us about the magnitude of what your forgiveness means and what it cost you, the price that you paid by giving us your Son who suffered for us. And Lord, we would never want to be in a position where we took that lightly. So Lord, as I pray and as all heads are bowed, Lord, I ask for your people to think about this magnitude. And I pray that you would just bring to remembrance the things that they need to know and remember about anything that has to do with unforgiveness in their lives. And I pray, Jesus, that you would cut through the marrow and cut through our hearts, not to wound us, but to heal us. Because when you probe and when you cut, we do not become infected, we become healed. And I thank you for that. Okay, here's what I want you to do. There really are three things that we talked about today when you really wind it all up. One was the sin condition. Some of you are still in that condition. You are still in that condition. And you need to get to a point where you've given God your sin and get out of that condition. Some of you have given the condition over, but continue to have maybe something that's vertical with the Lord that you need to become forgiven of. Again, it's not something that, something minor, or something that you really feel, Lord, I need to just give this to you, and you need to forgive me once and for all and move on. And some of you are thinking right now of the horizontal plane, and you're thinking, I need to either go to someone and forgive them, or I need them, someone to come and forgive something. I've been injured and I need to be forgiven. But again, you can't make that happen. You are only, I tell my kids this all the time, you're only responsible for your own behavior. So if you need to go and forgive someone, what I'd like you to do today is we're going to have the altars open. I'd like the deacons to come up. Some of you may need to pray with one of the deacons. You may not even want to talk about the whole situation, but you will need to pray. So I want the elders and the deacons to come up. Some of you may want to just come up and spend some time at the altars and pray on your own. But if you are a person who is still in the condition, and those of you that have brought people here who you know and may want to work with them, you need to come up and then take care of that, which is the beauty of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ben, if we can go to the... I'm just going to join the worship team, and we're just going to spend a few moments here just searching our hearts on where we need to respond to this message. And then Ralph's going to close for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus.